take a moment and thank God for Wes and for Pete and for John coming today. Thank you for coming to minister to us, because that's really what took place through your presentation, and we're grateful. And I trust as well that you've been moved and that God will use you in the ministry of the Gideons. Remember that we all really are together as the body of Christ, and so we want to support one another, and we want to see the outreach of this congregation to make a difference in others' lives. And so let me ask you today, do you have questions? Do you have questions about... Yes, Float. I should have preached first. Okay, thanks, Float. It may be. So do you have questions? Do you have questions about God? Do you have questions about theology? Do you have questions like, God, why do bad things happen to good people? Or God, why do you choose to heal some and you don't choose to heal others? Or maybe you have questions about heaven. Father, what's heaven really like? Is it going to be here on this earth, or is it in a celestial place? Maybe today, as we begin to look at our topic for this morning, you have questions about what it means to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in tongues. Where is it from, and how is it expressed? We'll seek to answer those questions today as we continue in our series on the Church of Alive in the book of Acts. And so this morning, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to be looking at verse 4 this morning and seeking to discover what God would say to us today. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we come in the midst of questions. Questions about theology. Questions about our walk with you. Questions about your desire for us individually. Questions, Father, about how we might serve you and be of use to you. I pray, Almighty Father, that as we read and unearth your word, that it might become alive to us and that we might be transformed by your truth. So, Jesus, we want to thank you in advance. Thank you. If our hearts are open, that you'll speak to us. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And so today, we're going to see that they were filled. We're going to see that they speak or they spoke. And lastly, that they spoke or speak in other tongues. You know, it is interesting that look at this text, that the first expression of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that of tongues. Those who were filled with the Holy Spirit, hear this, became the Spirit's mouthpiece. Isn't that what took place? They became the voice. They became the language that God desired to speak. We see that in the book of James, it says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. We understand that James is talking about the tongue. The tongue is a rudder. The tongue is that vehicle which can steer our lives. We've seen that happen in our lives, haven't we? We've seen the way that our tongues have been either used positively, like maybe the Gideons did today, used in a positive way, but we've also seen it where our tongues have been used negatively. We've seen that our tongues can be a restless fire. We see that our tongues can be used to destroy others' lives. You see, Jesus desires to take control of the rudder of man's ship. He wants to take control of the believer's very life. But it's interesting here that in the book of Acts, that Luke takes it one step further. The Holy Spirit does not just want to control what is being said. The Holy Spirit is saying it. The Holy Spirit does not tell the believer his message and the believer delivers it. This implies a separation from the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? When that takes place, there's a separation here. No, there's no separation. The mind of the Spirit becomes the mind of the believer. The believer's tongue now becomes the Spirit's tongue. The Spirit desires to permeate, to produce through our tongues, His message to our world. Because let me say this to you, and I've said it to you before, you know what? The world doesn't want to hear from you. The world could care less what you have to say. It doesn't really matter. You're just another person speaking. But really what they want to hear, is they want to hear Jesus or the Spirit through you. Because it is the Spirit. It is God speaking through you that change can take place. If you and I just talk about our opinions, they don't really matter. I remember a long time ago, maybe I shared this story with you. I worked for Progressive. And some of you recognize that name. I was working in a call center, finishing my last year of school, and selling insurance, because that's what I did. And I rode with this pastor. Greg was his name. And Greg and I were talking, and I was sharing with Greg my opinion. And I was a fourth-year Bible college student. Did he really realize who I was? And he said to me, and it took me back, he said, "Keith, your opinion doesn't matter." And I didn't slap him. I didn't hit him. I allowed God to speak to me. And you know what? He's absolutely right. My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. The word of truth matters. You see, the Holy Spirit not asking us to speak on His behalf. He wants to speak through us. He desires such an intimate union with you that He speaks through your life. A union that will, where we will have one mind, one voice, and one message. It's His message, not our message. And so it's not about what we think. We see that they were filled. So to be filled with anything denotes that all faculties are permeated by it. All faculties are engaged in it or under its influence. Do you catch this? This is what God wants to do with your life. This is not about you attending church. This is not about you being religious. This is not about you doing your duties. You see, if you think that Christianity is about what you do, if you think your Christianity is about believing a few creeds, you're wrong. God wants to come in and possess your life. You remember in verse 2, when we talked about the word filled? The word filled refers to contents coming into it. We talk about filled in the sense of being born again. When we are born again, you know that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, in verse 4, the emphasis shifts to the idea of saturating something. Something is already present, which moves on a whole being. Last week we talked this. Do you remember the picture of the sponge? Is it really about the sponge? No, it's not. And what does a sponge do? Absorbs, or it leaks out. When you squeeze a sponge, what comes out? Does the sponge come out? Whatever's in there, Karen. That's exactly right. And see, that's what God desires to do in your life. For you to be so filled with Him that you naturally overflow with the Holy Spirit. You know what? This ought to make you feel comfortable. This ought to make you relax. Why? Because you don't have to try. You don't have to contrive. You don't have to become something you're not. You just have to allow Him to ooze out all over your life so that others see Him. So it's not about you doing your list of 10 rights or wrongs. It's about Jesus living through your life. There is only one explanation for the sudden ability to speak in a language they do not know. The disciples have been invaded by the presence of another being that is controlling them and using them for His purposes. Do you notice something else here? When you're used by God, guess who gets the credit? He does, right? He does. So it's not about you and I getting a big head. It's not about, you've heard me say this to you before, it's not about your ministry. It's about His ministry through you. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up, what will He do? I'll draw all men to myself, right? Maybe the reason, forgive me for this, maybe the reason more people aren't coming to Christ is because we've been lifted up. Maybe the reason is that He's not flowing through us because that's the heart of God. God says that I desire that all men might come to know me, right? Not come to know you, right? Not come to know Wanda, even though she's marvelous. And who wouldn't want to be around her, right? Not about them coming. Because what's the truth? I mean, she's a gem. Wow. We don't want to get people saved, right? It's about them being saved in Jesus, right? We don't want to make disciples of ourselves because then they'll become just as miserable as we are. Right? Come on. It's the truth. No. We want them to see Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's interesting. Jesus, in His Galilean ministry, He looks out and He sees that the people are like a sheep without a shepherd. The disciples pray. And then at the end of the prayer, He gives them power to become apostles. But before He releases them to ministry, this is what He says to them. In Matthew 10, 19 through 20, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." My friends, if this is true for the disciples, how much more true is it for those who have been filled with the Spirit of Christ? So can Jesus become the source of our communication? Can He saturate our minds and spirit until nothing is said with our tongues that will not be sourced by Him? Is that possible? Yes, it is. Luke continues. It says they spoke or they speak. The word translated speak is not on the content of speaking. The idea is that the disciples uttered sounds which the hearers heard. This word is used, it's an interesting word. I kind of struck me back when I saw this word. This word is used kind of for random speaking. So let me give you an example of that. John and Michelle, you guys would know this. You've got little kids around your place all of the time. Have you ever watched when your kids are out maybe in the grounds or around the house and you see them speaking or rambling? That probably never happens in your perfect daycare at all, but or maybe you have perfect kids. But yeah, you see that, right? Yeah, I mean, they're off just speaking. They're off just doing their own things, trapped in their own little minds. You guys have seen that, right? That's really what this word is saying. Speaking is at random. You see, what this word does, it strikes at the wisdom of man. You and I can get so concerned. Well, what will I say? Will it make sense? Did I speak correctly? Or how will it be received? But you see, that says that I must be in control of what I'm saying. I must figure it out, and I must understand it thoroughly. But that's not what the Scripture is saying. Scripture is saying it's not about you. It's not about your intellect. It's not about your ability. It's nothing about you. It's you giving control. Something is happening to the tongues of the disciples, which is beyond their reasoning and understanding. They are not in control of what they're speaking. They are speaking in a language they do not know and don't understand. You see, a shift is being made in the lives of the disciples. A dramatic shift is being made in their lives. They're realizing that they don't depend upon them. They realize that life isn't about them. You see, they, as disciples of Christ, will no longer be in control of their tongues because the Spirit of Christ has invaded the deepest areas of their life. They're no longer in control. You see, but in our world, even in the church, I have the right to say. I have the right to give my opinion. I have the right to speak up when things aren't right. No, you don't. If you're not speaking as Christ would speak, forgive me for this, shut up. I don't like to use the word. It's true. Because I'm sorry, but our speaking can bring death and destruction. Jesus wants to be the source of their speaking. Their speaking is not to be a product of their own thinking. There will be no difficulty in speaking if the Spirit of Jesus saturates the depth of your mind and is in control of your life. Because let's be honest, most of us get into more problems, what? When we speak out of turn, or when we speak out of character, when we speak out of the character of Christ. How much of what we say is flavored with the love of Christ? How much of it is seasoned? Would you? Oh, amen, Bert. Yep. Yeah. We've all been there. You remember what Matthew said to us? It says, you will be given what to say. And again, remind you that God is no respecter of persons. If you are filled with the Spirit of Christ, you will be given what to say. And so is this possible? Is your Christianity about guarding, protecting, disciplining, and controlling? Or is it, hear this, is it about relaxing, yielding, surrendering, dying? I'm afraid that too much of our Christianity is about all that we do. We're more right works righteousness than what we want to admit. We're more about us doing and us feeling good. Maybe what he's saying to us today is, why don't you just relax? Why don't you just yield yourself to me? Why don't you just surrender to me? Why don't you place yourself on the cross and die so that I might live through you? Because if you're not on the cross, I'm sorry, you're living like you're in control of your life. You see, it's about the filling of the Spirit who wants to be the controlling agent in your life. He wants to so permeate your life that He can speak through you, so that He can speak His message to your world. But there's a dilemma. It's a simple question. Will you let Him? And one of the things I love about God is that He's a gentleman. He'll let you make the choices you want to make. He'll let you go the direction you want to go. He's a gentleman. And so the choice is up to you and I. Will we let Him saturate the lives that He's given to us? Let's go on. says that they will speak in other tongues. In the New Testament, tongues refers to an organ of the body. It refers to taste. It refers to speech. It is used metaphorically in our verse to mean languages. It refers to a particular language or dialect spoken by a particular people. Now, it's pretty clear in the scripture that there are two distinct uses of the word. One was the promised gift of language other than one's own native language. They spoke and they heard it in their native language. This was experienced by those who were infected by the spirit of Pentecost. The other can refer to a language which is yet unknown. The Spirit of Jesus desires to permeate our life to produce through our tongues His message to the world. Please catch this, though. Our verse says, He gave. The word gave has to do with one who does anything to or for another. This word is often connected with God or Jesus as the author or the source of what one has received. You see, the Spirit wants to furnish us with the content as well as the language. Do you catch this? In this, we don't see the disciples, do we? Who's doing all the work? Yeah. It's about Him. And really, our role is to get out of the way and surrender and allow Him to speak. Everything that happened was a gift from God to us. And so as we conclude our message today, Jesus wants to permeate your life to produce His message through you to our world. He wants to control your tongue. He wants to unite with you in such a way that our tongues become His tongue. His mind becomes our mind. His will become our will. His life become our life. And as you sit here today, the choice is up to you. Will you? Will you choose to surrender fully to Him? Or will you say, well, God, you can have this little part. Or you can have this portion. But you can't have that. My friends, God wants to use you. God wants to use you like He's using Deb at her work. Reaching, touching lives. God wants to speak through you. But if I began to speak to you right now, and what I decided to do was to speak two sentences at the same time, would you be able to understand me? No. If I begin to tell you two different stories and meld them together, would you understand me? Could it be, just possibly, that the reason why the world does not see Jesus is because we're telling two sentences, we're telling two stories? My story, what I want, and Jesus. No wonder they don't understand. Will you? Will you let Him have His complete, full way in your life so that He might be revealed? That's really His desire for you. Would you please stand? Oh, Father, we come. Lord, I just want to say forgive me. Forgive me for the ways that I get in the way. Forgive me that too many times in life it's about my opinion and what I think. Forgive me for not trusting and allowing you to flow out of this life. I ask today that here in the quietness of this place, that you would come and convict our hearts, that you'd come and allow us to fully surrender to you so that you might be fully seen through these vessels that you've given to us. I pray as well, Father, that as my brothers and sisters go out into their world this week, that you would flow through them, flow out of their mouths, and may they speak of your truth and of your love and of what you want, not what they want. I pray that we would all be crucified with Christ and know that we no longer live. Please, Father, we come and we seek you and we thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Have a great week and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.